Today is Monday, September 10th, 2018, and welcome to Daily DVR. Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Axel, and you're listening to Daily DVR. Daily DVR is a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. Check out our other great pods like Podcast Winterfell and the Westworld Theory Cast at DVRpodcast.com. Daily DVR is a brand new podcast. Today is actually the first episode. I did a little test episode last week, but you're listening to the first podcast. This podcast is going to be available 5 days a week to patrons and 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for everyone, iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, all that stuff. Now, if you'd like to be a patron and join us for as little as $3 a month, please go to patreon.com/DVR. Well, you'll get those extra episodes, plus a lot of great extra awesome stuff that you can read about there. I want the show to grow and evolve, so please send your feedback to dvrpodcast@gmail.com. That's dvrpodcast@gmail.com. Or find us on Twitter at dvrpodcast. So let's do this. What I'm going to do is every day I'm going to try to do basically three different segments. News, what's on, and then basically kind of it's really what the last category is kind of three in one. What I recorded last night, what I'm recording tonight, and then a deep dive on what I watched. So it's basically kind of like news, what's new, and then kind of me giving my reviews on what I've been watching. So again, if people don't know me, my name is Axel Foley. I've been podcasting for over 10 years. I've been in filmmaker, journalist, educator, ran public access television stations, all that kind of stuff. So I've been doing this for pretty much my whole life. So I like to try to give a perspective that's personal to the shows and to the news that comes out. And I hope you'll join me on this fantastic new journey, baby. So let's just start it out. So we had some news over the weekend, and, you know, For 70s kids like me, I was born in 74, the passing of Burt Reynolds is something that we all kind of take a moment to think about. I mean, obviously, I don't know the guy personally. I don't really know anything about him. All I know is his work. And when I was a kid, I was born in 74, Burt Reynolds was the coolest. You know, whether it was Cannonball Run or Sharky's Machine or just, I mean, God, how many movies did he do? Just there's, I can think, you know, so many of, he was just a staple of the, HBO, you know, WPIX Channel 11 late night movie. They're just always, it just seemed like everywhere you turn, there was Burt Reynolds. There's that infamous Playgirl spread and, you know, his different love affairs, and it's just, it's a whole nother world when you think about it now. And even the way he kind of, to me, actually, you know what Burt Reynolds is to me? I was trying to find what a modern equivalent is, and I kind of think, and some people might think I'm wrong here, and he doesn't really have the same cool factor, but to me, he's a little bit of a Bradley Cooper, which is, he's really not a leading guy. Like, I always felt like Burt Reynolds was kind of like an elevated character actor. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know how it's hard to explain, but he doesn't have the gravitas that some actors have. He seems like a dude you want to hang out with, you know, and he was able to be in comedies, dramas, satire, you know, a little bit of both. I mean, we all remember Squeal Like a Pig. He was in Deliverance, you know? So the guy had a varied background, but it's interesting. It's interesting to think about what, to me, what kind of archetype he fulfilled. And I guess it's that kind of sporty friend, cool guy, but not, because he wasn't like really that handsome, I don't think. So I think it's kind of like, I don't think, is Bradley Cooper handsome really? I don't know. Maybe I'm not a good judge of this, but I don't know. He has that same kind of quality to me. But anyway, I know our good friend Heath Actor on Twitter, Heath Solo, is a big fan. And I will say that I know when Heath was in a car accident, Burt Reynolds wrote him like this long letter, and it was really meant a lot to him. So that's pretty cool that he reached out to his fans. So we know that that's the only personal thing I know. So RIP Burt Reynolds. Another news bit. So the Oscars has decided to eliminate the popular film category that they had announced earlier. I don't think they announced it. They were testing the waters, and it was pretty obvious that people didn't like it, and so they shelved it. Now, I think that this was interesting because you see the way it was announced with no details. Who would do that? Nobody would do that. It was on purpose, right? It was basically to kind of gauge the public's response to it, and it kind of, I mean, I think it was not a good PR move for the Academy because they're often under fire. So there's a better way to do this. If you want to, you know, maybe start a conversation, that's not a way to do it. We're doing this new category for people who get upset. Personally, honestly, I don't really care. I don't give a shit. I mean, the Oscars for me, I watch all these award shows. I think they're a lot of fun, but it's about giving, shining light and giving attention to films, TV shows, music. That's why I think these award shows can be good. And one of the reasons why I like the Oscars is that they include like the short film category, the documentary category. They include technical categories, costume and things that like if, you know, I mean, could you imagine if the Grammys gave like a best like engineer award or something, or sound engineering award live on TV, you know, I mean, what would the people do? They would not do anything. Everybody would be like, where? I thought this is supposed to be a 4-hour concert. So that's why I like it. So if they give a popular award, who cares? But they took it back. So I think in general, we should all be savvy enough to be able to spot when something is. Let's see what happens. You know, they're testing the waters, and that's pretty much I thought with that. Another little piece of news, Les Moonves is out at CBS after being accused of multiple cases of sexual harassment, some of them including criminal acts. This guy and what's been going on in the country with Me Too and everything like that is fantastic. Get him out. Put somebody else in there. A larger conversation, will this change anything? I don't know. It takes time for society to change. We're a very impatient society and an extremely impatient culture. So only time will tell. But the thing I have to say is that's good. If he was a person in power abusing that power and hurting people, he can no longer do that. It's not good that he's probably going to make $1 billion with a golden parachute. But hopefully, you know, hopefully this will get some people thinking, and I think change takes time, but this is great that it's happening. Another piece of news, Netflix last week, I just wanted to throw this in there real quick, that Netflix saved Designated Survivor on its fifth showrunner. I must admit, I watched about 8 episodes of this show. I love Kiefer. I was a 24 fan, not all of it, I mean, a lot of 24 is garbage, and towards the end it was, and the reboot was just not good when Dr. Dre played Jack. It wasn't that good, but hey, you're going to save Designated Survivor. It's on its fifth showrunner, but you're going to let great shows like Playing House, Ghosted, fun little cheap shows go by the wayside. When I saw this, it rang a bell to me because I said, this is unlike anything that Netflix has done before. This is not their normal thing to do. This is more of like a move that a network would do when they pick up another show and continue it. Designated Survivor does not have a huge cult following. It is not very popular. It gets decent ratings. It has Kiefer Sutherland, and it's about politics, and they are losing House of Cards. So I'm going to propose something here, and I don't know if it's true, but I think that Netflix is rebooting Designated Survivor. Because I think it was a great fucking idea, and the show is horrible. I mean, it's downright terrible. How it lasted 2 seasons, I have no idea. I mean, talk about like extraneous B plots. The entire show, it's just bad acting, bad writing, not even good action. I mean, it's just not a good show, but it has a good premise and it has a good star, and the people behind it are quality. My thought, Netflix is going to do something with this. So let's keep track of this. Let's watch. It might be called season three, but I think it's going to be entirely rebooted in a way that makes it accessible to people who haven't seen it before, or in a way that Netflix will either re-edit or repackage the first two seasons, which they most likely acquired as well. So let's see what happens with that. Netflix is, man, they're knocking it out. Quick piece of reality news. So it turns out, for those of us who are fans of Flipping Out on Bravo, I used to watch this show. I stopped watching this show. I thought it was fun. Why did I watch it? I thought Jeff Lewis was funny as hell. I thought Jenny was funny. I love real estate, and especially I'm a fan of design, architecture and design. And I like to build myself, so I like to watch things being built and constructed. But this is a good example. The reason why I bring this up is I'm a reality TV show fan, and on this show, I want to try to bring, start a movement of reality fans against anger. I don't know what we'll call it. Reality fans against RFAA. The RFAA, Reality Fans Against Anger Coalition. I don't need to see people arguing. I liked Real Housewives when it was dumb rich people and they edited it to make fun of them. I liked Flipping Out when Jeff was a little quirky, and then when there were fights, people would say, "You're fucking crazy, be quiet." And they cultivate this. And this is, I've been a part of reality TV shows. I've been a part of TV shows, and I understand what's happening here, and they're cultivating the drama, right? Because they believe this is what people want. I don't think this is what people want. I think if you gave people shows where people got along and created things together, such as like Making It, which did very well, I think it could be better. So what I have to say about Jeff Lewis and Jenny not talking to each other or working with each other, another destroyed relationship through a reality that is constructed on reality TV. These shows aren't real. Producers create them and manipulate them to maintain a storyline. We all know that, but this is just a sad story here because there are real people somehow here. And the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because I remember when this first came out on Bravo, one of their first reality shows, and it was kind of a cute, quirky show. And then it became this show where people just fight and throw things at each other, which I think has become a lot of Bravo, and it's sad. And I don't like it because I am a fan. Watchmen is coming out. Watchmen on HBO. Damon Lindelof, baby. We will be covering that on the DVR Podcast Network. Aaron and I, they started shooting it. And just recently, Dave Gibbons, who was the artist behind the original Watchmen, had a little quote, and he said, "I do know a little bit about it. I've had conversations with Damon, and I've read the screenplay for the pilot. I don't think it's my place to say too much about it, other than I found Damon's approach to be really refreshing, exciting, and unexpected. I don't think it's going to be what people think it's going to be. It certainly wasn't what I imagined it to be. I think it's extremely fresh. I'm really looking forward to seeing it on the screen." Now, you know, I'm not a huge fan of IP, intellectual property grabs, like with Watchmen here. But when Damon is involved, I take all art as it is, right? I may come into it with some preconceived notions, but I'll give it a shot. You know, I try to leave those at the door. And I'm super excited about this. I can only imagine what Damon Lindelof is going to do to Watchmen. And I don't care what he does with the original thing. I don't care if he completely changes it. It does not bother me one bit. This is a new creation, and I will have none of that. So when we cover the show and that, we'll watch the original movie, which I've just recently watched, read the comic, and go from there. just as a background basis, but I'm going to take whatever Damon creates as its own creation. But it's cool to see people involved, you know, being excited about it, because this was a big part of Dave Gibbons' artistic life. So that's pretty cool. We had the Creative Arts Emmys, night one and two, actually, this weekend. We had a lot. You can go ahead and read that everywhere you want. Variety, whatnot. I'm looking at Variety right now. But Game of Thrones was a big winner. Assassination of Gianni Versace was a big winner. And actually, one of the things that happened is that John Legend became an EGOT. He's won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. And you know what? I think that's kind of a big deal. And even though I'm not in awards, like I don't think they really mean that much. But for your career and as an accomplishment, I'm not like some big John Legend huge fan. But hey, you got to give the guy some credit, right? I mean, he's everywhere. I mean, it's like every time I turn on the TV, I either see John Legend or Common. And John Legend always seems to be talking to me while Common is Common's got to tell me what's happening now. It's real. It's life. Common cracks me up. I'm always, that's my little inside joke. Whenever someone says something that I don't know, I'll be like, I bet you Common knows. But that was cool. The Emmys are coming up. We're going to be covering the Emmys. I don't have a huge amount to say about the Creative Arts Emmys, though I wish that they were broadcast a little more, and I enjoy them. I think it's cool. And it's good to see Game of Thrones get so much for that, because this is a part that really recognizes, they call it the Creative Arts Emmys, like it's not all creative arts, but it's, you know, they'll do more background stuff, and really give awards to people that are not normally awarded. But still, when you read the article, the people that they're talking about are more like people who won awards for supporting actor and stuff like that. But there's a lot of like special effects and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. And they got the Governor's Award to Star Trek for 50 years of boldly blazing trails in television or film. Though I wish the newer Star Treks had a little bit more of that spirit. I'm really going to be excited for Jean-Luc Godard, though. I'll tell you that. I'm going to be really excited for that. All right. Let's see. That's about all the news I got. There's always stuff happening. I'll try to cover it. If there's anything that I miss and someone wants me to chat quickly about it, I'll definitely do that. Now, let's check out what's going on the Metacritic calendar. I am a checker of this almost every day. If you head over to Metacritic and check out the fall TV premiere calendar, I'll try to include that in the show notes. This is a great calendar. It tells you pretty much everything that's premiering on television. And on the other hand, I use an app called Just Watch on my phone to try to figure out the newest things that are streaming on Hulu. It has everything, but basically Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime. So I'll be going over that each show as well. So we had a lot of premieres on Friday on Netflix. Netflix is really dropping shit. I mean, basically every Thursday or Friday is a Netflix drop. I mean, just this Friday, they dropped a new seasons of Atypical, Iron Fist, a doc called City of Joy, which looks really interesting. A lot of stuff, a new show, a Chinese English language animated film called Next Gen that my son already watched. This new series called Sierra Burgess is a Loser, which kids are loving. You know, it comes on the heels of Netflix releasing a bunch of kind of rom-com-y teen movies. Little bit, from what I understand, a little bit like higher than like Disney Channel fare, you know, and they're really finding a niche there. So, a new animation, Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters. I think my son already watched that. On TV tonight, what do we have premiering? Monday Night Football with the New York Jets. I'll be watching that. I'm a New York Jets fan. I'll talk a little bit about football on this show, but not too much. So Monday Night Football starts with the Jets. That's 4 p.m. out here in the West Coast and 7 on the East. Not too much tonight. there is a new show that I'm going to be checking out on DIY called Aloha Builds. What is that? People build houses in Hawaii. I'm down. Now, if it was in Alaska, I already would have had it in the DVR. I'm lying. I already have it in the DVR, even though it's Hawaii. Lost, baby. Not much coming on TV tonight. Monday Night Football. I Am Frankie, which is a comedy on a Nickelodeon. Couple of History Channel doing a September 11 special. I have to say, the September 11 specials are finally kind of cutting down. Like, as I look, tomorrow is September 11th. There's like one thing listed. So I don't have to rewatch that again, even though I was there. So, but we do want to remember that. And hopefully things will get a little bit better. Oh my God. I thought about politics for a second. Look what happened, people. I lost my train of thought. All right, let's keep on moving. So I checked that today. Not a lot premiering tonight. Check out Aloha Builds, 10 o'clock on DIY. Now, when I switch over to my phone and I'm looking what premiered on Just Watch, if you look over on Amazon Prime, I just wanted to point out that, speaking of Burt Reynolds, The Longest Yard just came on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime has so much, and you can never find any of it because they have the worst interface or way to figure it out, whether it's Prime or you pay for it. It's just terrible. But there is a documentary series called Six Dreams. That's a soccer documentary series, or as they would call it in another country, football. And it's a Prime original, and it's like Ronaldo, Lionel Messier. I mean, these are the big guys. So that looks kind of cool to me. I'm going to be checking that out because I'm a soccer fan. So that's called Six Dreams. Netflix has new season, the last season of Call the Midwife. And let's see. Hulu doesn't have too much new coming in. The weird looking From Paris with Love John Travolta movie. Gosh, I should do a whole episode about John Travolta's weird movies. There is an interesting movie that did come on Amazon Prime too called Future World, which stars James Franco. It's just a really weird science. You know, James Franco made like 15 movies last year. But I just wanted to bring that up. So not too much on the streaming, but we'll keep a track of that as time goes on. And let's talk about what I recorded last night. Last night on my DVR, I recorded Ballers on HBO, which we'll definitely talk about later. Gotta talk about Ballers. Insecure, which had a great episode that people are talking about, which I have not watched yet. So I'm not going to be talking about that. The Deuce, did not get a chance to check it out. You, the new Lifetime show with Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl, which I totally watch with my wife, and I will talk about it later in the deep dive. Alaskan Bush People. I don't know why I watched this stupid show. I already watched it today. I'm not going to talk about it. It's a bunch of people in the woods. There you go. If you like that shit, you'll watch it. I mean, at some point I'll get deeper into the weirdness that is Alaskan Bush People. If anyone else watches it, please tell me. If you're listening to this podcast and you too know who Birdie is, tell me, okay? I'm a big fan of TCM, Turner Classic Movies. There was a documentary called Dawson City, Frozen Time that was on last night that I'm going to check that out, that somebody found home footage of Dawson City, and I think that's going to be interesting to check out. I also taped Kidding, the new show with Jim Carrey, directed and created by Michelle Gondry, which premiered on Showtime last night, which I will talk about. What I'm recording tonight, Monday. Oh, God, what a great lineup. Better Call Saul on AMC, Lodge 49 AMC, Bachelor in Paradise, ABC. Of course, you got to watch Batch, baby. Aloha Builds that I talked about, and the Jets game. Of course, I'll be watching the Jets game. It's going to be awesome. So let's talk a little bit about what I watched last night. I'll do a little quick review of Kidding. You know, I'm a fan of Gondry. I love the in-camera tricks that he does. I love his creativity, his casting. Not always the greatest writer in my estimation. kind of derivative sometimes to me. I got to be honest with you. Like the quirkiness is like nothing really that I haven't seen before. And I got to be honest with you, kidding? Not good. Wish it was. Wish it was. Jim Carrey is strange and it's not in a good way. He's trying to act like, you know, he's this nice guy. And it just, it's very strange. Gondry is trying to employ every different sad guy because his kid died. Spoiler alert, you find out in the first scene. Thing that you could, I mean, the only inventive thing is that the way they unspool the relationship of the people in the story is a little bit inventive. It's until they sit down to dinner and they just call each other, hi sister, hi brother. And it's very strange. And the thing with Gondry is I never know, and maybe this is a good thing, right? Art that makes you uncomfortable is good. When he's being metaphoric, it's all mixed up. The fantasy, the metaphor, the reality, it's all mixed up together. And in this show, it's just not working for me. It just seems so derivative and so like, okay, he's going to imagine that his son's alive. Of course he will. He's going to get angry. Of course he will. We're going to see things broken around him, but we don't see him break them. So who broke them? Oh my gosh, he did. He's hiding his anger. Wow. It's exactly what I thought it would be. It is exactly the show I thought it would be. And I also do not see any way that this is going to sustain a series order. I think it's 8 episodes, maybe. I don't know. It's so weird that I'll stick with it, and I appreciate Gondry, and I'm waiting for more. You know, it's like when you watch a Guillermo del Toro movie, you're like, okay, there's got to be some strange monster shit or something that looks like it was made in like some 50s sci-fi. Somehow we're in the wrong year. Oh yes, it's del Toro. But it's the same thing with Gondry. It's like, is there a puppet? Did someone make something by hand? Even the credits, of course, are him drawing it. And then he, you know, like somebody punches the screen and instead of it cracking, drawing of a crack shows up. I mean, I like that stuff, you know, Seven Nation Army, you know, it's very inventive. And this guy's been doing it for years. I mean, he's very creative, but this show just ain't cutting it. Now, on the other hand, my man, Greg Berlanti, the creator of all of the DC Arrowverse shows on the CW, I almost said WB, who also I recently watched the movie Love, Simon, which I really enjoyed. He came out with this new show called You, with Penn Badgley playing this creepy stalker, but it's from his perspective. So you're watching the show and you're hearing Penn Badgley talk to you. And, you know, it's one of those voiceover narrations where you're expecting, you know, at the end of the series, he's sitting in the cop station, you know, or something of that nature. Water break. But it's really good. If you are a person who enjoys soapy a little bit, kind of it's on Lifetime. It's very Lifetime, but it's elevated in a sense because it knows what it is. And Berlanti is a master. This guy knows how to do genre right. And just like I think the best TV adaptations of any superhero stuff is stuff that he's done. I thought Love, Simon was a really inventive and forward-thinking way of presenting a coming-out story in the modern age. I really enjoyed it. And I think this is great. Penn Badgley is fantastic. I always thought he was creepy on Gossip Girl. I never understood how he was like the hot guy on the show or whatever. I just always thought he was a creepy little dude. And he is a creepy little dude on this show, and it totally works. And I'm telling you, this is a lot of fun. I really am like excited about this dumb show, And I'm telling you, go out and watch it. You on Lifetime. Let's see. Now going to go little bit. What are we at here? Wow, I'm already at 40 minutes. So I'm going to just get into one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is I finished Jack Ryan. I'll leave Jack Ryan for tomorrow. I'll talk a little bit about Ozark. Newbie Doos, if you're on Twitch, look her up. She's on the Hell's Army team, I believe it's called. I don't quite understand Twitch, but I'm learning, and check her out. Newbie Doos is a fan, and she is on season 2 of Ozark and wanted me to talk a little bit about it. And she's also a patron. Check us out at patreon.com/DVR. And Ozark, I love this show. It's crazy. It's fucking nuts. It burns plot. I would say like this. Imagine if Breaking Bad started at the end. That's what Ozark is. And with that same franticness, everyone's life is always in jeopardy. Minor spoilers. Jason Bateman plays a man. He's got a teenage son and daughter. It's not wife. Laura Linney, great actress, plays his wife, and he is an accountant. And the show starts off. I mean, in the realm of Ozarks, I'm talking about a couple minutes, not like the first episode. We kind of meet him, and right away, bam, the cartel is coming in because they found out that someone was stealing money, and then all hell breaks loose, and basically he's got to escape to the Ozarks. That's the name of the show. Don't think it's a big spoiler. And he's got to basically clean this money up for the cartel, okay? That's the premise. Immediately, he's embroiled in the white trash goings-on of the Ozarks, and it's a fun show. Jason Bateman has always had the ability to be a snarky fuck, but still, you like him. And on this show, he is manipulative, he is unethical, he's cruel, he's snarky, but yet you still kind of are rooting somehow for him to figure this out. Laura Linney is great in this show. She takes him on toe-to-toe. Even the kids are good. Even the young daughter's storyline is not that bad. Because one of the things that this show does is that a normal show would spend the first couple episodes letting you get to know who this guy is and then surprise you with what happens. They don't even do this. I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know where he's from. I'm on episode episode 6 or 7 of season 1. I don't know anything about anybody. I don't know about his past. I don't know how he met his wife. Any of these extraneous details that are usually thrown into a show that build the world of the character, they threw them out and replaced it with plot and action. Now, that means that the show moves, but the characters, you really only know them through their actions, so you don't really have a sense of their inner life, only what they do, right? And actually, in 6 or 7 episodes, there's only 1 or 2 scenes in which Jason Bateman's inner life kind of comes out. And I find it fascinating to see how long they can sustain this. From what I understand, they can sustain it. It's 10 episodes each season. It's in season 2. But I'm going to keep on checking it out. I would suggest people check out Ozark. It's really bingeable. It does seem like one of those shows that they fed through the Netflix algorithm. And does it suffer from not having this great characterization? I don't know if it does, because you know what? The show is not trying to be The Sopranos. It's not trying to be The Wire. It's trying to be a fun, action-filled, propulsive show, and it accomplishes that. So don't think it's going to win Emmys. I don't think it's going to change people's lives, but for a Netflix show, it accomplishes the goals that it set out. And there is a lot of violence and action and thrill and anxiety involved in the way it's written and the plot is constructed. So, newbie doos, Ozark. I'll come back and I'll check back in on Ozark as time goes on. But I would say to those of you out there who are kind of on the fence, give Ozark a shot. There's a lot of shows like this that have been getting a lot of push that I hear about. People tell me, watch them. And you have to come around. Sometimes it takes time now, right? So I'm on season two and I'm finally saying, hey, I'll check out this show. Just like I have Killing Eve sitting in my DVR the whole season, and I'll check that out at some time and I'll talk to you about it. But that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for being here with me on the first episode. Don't forget that Daily DVR is a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. Check out our other great pods like Podcast Winterfell and the Westworld Theorycast at dvrpodcast.com. We're available 5 days a week to patrons and 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to all. Go to patreon.com/DVR for as little as $3 a month. You can become a patron. And also, send me your feedback. I want to hear from you. dvrpodcast@gmail.com, @DVRpodcast on Twitter. Ah! I forgot to talk about Ballers. I will definitely get to it tomorrow. But until then, peace out.